John chapter number 11. I'd like to pick up tonight on the shortest verse in the Bible, verse number 35. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. Some of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Well, sure he could. And Jesus, therefore, again groaning in himself, come unto the grave, and it was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. And Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. And Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice. This is what he said, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth bound hand and foot with grave clothes. And his face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus said unto them, loose him and let him go. You may be seated tonight. Father, we love you. Thank you for this good time together. Thank you for the good day. Thank you, Lord, for the songs of Zion tonight. How you've touched our heart. And I pray now you let preaching be easy a little while tonight. Pray you let us be a blessing to your people. Pray you keep our minds and hearts attentive to thy word this evening. Help us now, and I'll be grateful to you in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. I will preach this evening on the three pictures of Lazarus. In our Bible, in John 11 and John 12, we have three snapshots of Lazarus. And it is a type many times of where we've all been or where we all are. Now, we preached this morning on where Martha made the statement that, Lord, even now. Boy, I'm glad that there's people that have faith that even now. But certainly this evening, Jesus comes and he finds Lazarus dead. You'll notice in verse 14, Jesus made no beans about it. He said, Jesus said unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. Now, Lazarus died. We know that he's been dead 4 days, because the Bible said when Mary and Martha sent unto the Lord that he stayed two days in the same place where he was. And then when he got there, Martha said, now, Lord, it's been 4 days and 39, and by now he stinketh. So first of all, I want you to notice tonight, on Lazarus, I want you to see Lazarus, the dead man in the tomb. Lazarus as the dead man in the tomb. Now, I want to remind you that we that are saved by the grace of God, we were all like Lazarus, dead in the tomb. We were in graveyard bound, friend. We was dead as dead could get. Now, I want you to notice now, first of all, Lazarus, the dead man in the tomb. Notice his problem tonight. Now, first of all, he can't eat, but he has no stomach problem. Then he can't see, but he has no eye problem. And he can't hear, but he has no ear problem. Now, I'm going to tell you what the problem was, he was dead. And I think a reason a lot of times that people don't want to eat around God's house, or they can't see things or hear things. They're just spiritually dead. I mean, they just old-timey, honey, done kicked the bucket. They dead. They've never been raised in the newness of life. And you can't make nothing else out of a dead man but a dead man. Now, I'm going to tell you, at a funeral home, I've never seen one raise up out of that box yet and talk to me, Brother Driver. And if he talks to you, I'll catch you down yonder on the square somewhere. Somebody say amen. But I'm going to tell you one thing. Dead is graveyard dead. It ain't he's all dead. And when you're all dead, you know nothing about the spiritual things of God. And my goodness, here we see the glimpse of Lazarus. He's a dead man in the tomb. Now, his problem, but you'll notice his proof. Let's examine him. First of all, he has no activity. He has no appetite. He has no ambition. And he has no awareness. Now, you know, Joel Osteen, if he is preaching tonight, he'd say, well, I tell you what he needs a little encouragement. And then the modern philosophers say, no, he just needs some education. And then all the legal boys that say, no, he just needs somebody to be the right kind of example. And now then all the Southern Baptist boys say, no, I tell you what they need. He just needs employment. Amen. And then the promise keepers say, no, he don't. He just needs a new environment. But I'm going to tell you, after all these things, he's still dead. And honey, you ain't going to get no life as long as you still dead. Dead is still dead tonight. And I can remember the day that I was spiritually dead. I didn't want anything at the house of God. Didn't want to hear any preaching. I had no appetite for the things of God. And that's where we all were, lost and undone and in a graveyard without the Lord Jesus Christ. Lazarus, the dead man, he's in the tomb. Now his problem and his proof, but then thirdly, notice he had a prescription. I tell you what he needs. What he needed is in the Bible. You'll see, first of all, the saints had a part. Now, first of all, in verse 2 and 3, the saints have a part in where we ought to get God in on the scene. Now, before we're going to get anybody raised to life, somebody's got to go get God. The Bible said in John 11, I tell you, I love this message right here. This is some kind of fine sermon tonight. And I'm going to tell you what. I'll tell you why it's so fine, because it's in our Bible. Now look in verse number 3. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest, he's sick. Now then, the prescription he needed. Now there was a saint's part. I wish somebody would get God on the scene for lost people. And it had to do with a burden. I wish we could be like them. And say, you know what, we've got a burden for somebody. Jesus, would you come and help them? Can I tell you, all the religion in the world's not going to help them. I mean, all of the do-goods and the better's not going to do. We need to get Jesus on the scene. And Liberty Baptist Church, how we need to be praying that Jesus would come and get on the trail of dead people down at Liberty Baptist Church. You can hear all the preaching. You can hear everything, honey. But let me tell you, until he heard the voice of Jesus, he stayed where he was. I'm glad one day he called my name. And so we see the prescription. Now, you'll notice this. It gets better. They got God on the scene. It has to do with a burden. But in verse number 39, look what he told them before he could raise the dead. Jesus said, take you away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time he stinketh. Well, you got to get God on the scene. And secondly, you got to roll some stones away. Number one, it had to do with a burden. But then secondly, it had to do with a bother. What are you talking about? He stinketh. Don't let a little stink bother you. Don't let a little stinky people bother you. He said, Lord, by now he stink. Honey, let me tell you, just as men sung tonight, if it wasn't for Calvary, we'd all be in a stinking situation. We'd be rotting corpse. Boy, I'm going to tell you something. People that's in sin, they wake up in bad places. And I'm going to tell you something. Many times they did not go to bed intending to wake up that way. Don't let a little stink bother you. If somebody comes in and smells like something that we used to do, don't let that bother you. Just love on them. Tell Jesus about it. She said, now, Lord, he's a stinking. I don't know if we can do anything. Aren't you glad a little stink don't bother Jesus? Would you help me preach tonight? A little stink don't bother Jesus. A lot of Baptists turn their nose up at them people that ain't got nice things to wear, or their hair may not suit you, or boy, there, it looks like maybe they're not in the culture you're in, but you remember this, Jesus loves sinners. He came to seek and to save that which was lost, honey. And I'm glad a little stink don't bother our Jesus. I'm glad he came to raise a stink, glory to God. I'm glad he didn't get in your stinking situation tonight. My goodness, I'm going to tell you, the saints had a part. They had to get the Lord. They had a burden. They had a boulder. They had to move some things. He said, it's up to y'all before I do something. You see, we've all got a part before the Lord moves. And he said, you know what? If you would just take away the boulder, if you'd roll away the stone, I could do something. I think a lot of times things are hindering people from getting saved because it's on our part. Amen. We ought to do our part. Boy, we ought to get Jesus in on the situation. And then we ought to realize if it wasn't for the grace of God, we'd all be where they are. You remember this, when that old boy is a hitchhiking or a thumbing and his hair down his back and looks like he needs a flea collar or a haircut. Somebody say amen. You remember this, friend, that could be your young'un sitting there today. That could be your young'un. Therefore, it was a saint's part. Now, you'll notice that they needed to get God on the scene. They needed to roll away the stone. And then verse 40, look what he told them. Not only did they need to deal with a burden and deal with a boulder, but they had to deal with believing. The Bible said in verse number 40, Jesus said to her, said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. I think when we get to heaven, we're going to be surprised what we could have had if we could just believe God for it. You know, people in the Bible, I'm not talking about a name it and claim it. I'm talking about believing God, taking Him at His word at what He said. And therefore the saints had a part. Now, Lazarus, a dead man in the tomb. You'll notice his problem, his proof, but his prescription, the saints had a part. But then the Savior had a part. In verse 43, look what he said. I wonder if this has ever happened to you. The Bible said, and when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. I like what the old preacher said. If he hadn't called him by name, he'd have emptied the graveyard that evening. Boy, ain't that going to be amazing when he cries, come forth one day, and all these graves is going to give up. I think about Miss Carolyn and Cindy that's gone on before us. Many of you were here when they were living. We buried Cindy at a young age. Let me tell you, Cindy's not laying out there in that graveyard. That's just flesh and bones going to dirt. Her soul and spirit is with Jesus. That body's here. Them clouds are going to part one evening. Jesus is going to call folks out of the grave. That body's going to come. That soul and spirit's going to come back from heaven with Jesus. We're going to reunite in a glorified body, and we're going to live with the Lord forever and ever and ever. Why, Lord in heaven, what a day. And he said, hey, Lazarus, come. I remember that day he came to my trailer on that Saturday. He said, Ken, I'd been around religion for 18 years, but till he called my name, I was a dead man. But thank God, one glorious day, he called my name. Hallelujah. Come forward. Well, the Savior's part. The call was personal. Then look, verse 43, the call was plain. I'm telling you, that call's still plain tonight. He's still calling sinners to come forth. That call was powerful. In verse 44, look what happened. I'd love to have been around that crowd. I'd just love to have been a fly on the wall right there, Brother Tim. Brother Hugh, I'd love to have seen this crowd right here, verse 44. And he that was dead came forth. Son, you talking about some boys backpedaling. He came forth bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound with a napkin. Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. That takes me to the second picture of Lazarus. First of all, we see Lazarus in John chapter number 11 as the dead man in the tomb. But the second snapshot, we just seen him. We seen Lazarus, the defeated man, he's tied. Now, not only Lazarus, the dead man in the tomb, but Lazarus, the defeated man, he's tied. In verse 44, look what the Bible said. He that was dead came forth bound, hand and foot, with grave clothes, and his face was bound with a napkin. Jesus, watch this now, said unto them, loose him, let him go. What are you talking about, preacher? He's alive, but he's not loose. He's still carnal. Paul had a problem with that. In Romans chapter number 7 and verse number 14, Romans 7, this thing's fixing to get better. Romans 7, verse number 14. Lazarus, the dead man in the tomb, but now Lazarus, the defeated man, he's all tied up. Now, Paul said in Romans 7 and verse number 14, I want you to get there, and I want to show you something that's very important in the Word of God tonight. Romans 7, verse number 14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal. Look that word up, Brother Vince, this evening. Carnal. You know what it means? Fleshly. We got a lot of this on it. And when God raised us from the dead and called us out of the tomb, we still had some grave clothes on us. The old man come forth with us. Wouldn't that be a blessing, Brother Mike, when the day we got saved, that old man just stayed up in that grave? No, we got a battle on our hands. We got a fight on our hands. Now, Paul, probably the closest preacher that ever preached in our Bible to the Lord Jesus, he said, I want you to know something. He said, verse 14, I'm carnal and I'm sold unto sin. For that which I do, I allow not. This don't give us a license to sin. This ought to let us know that it's all in us. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. Paul wanted to live a life so close to Jesus that affected him when he sinned. It affected him when he strayed. And let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, it ought to affect us that we're saved when we stray away from the Lord. Verse 16, look what he says. He said, I hate it. That do I not, but what I hate, that do I. I hate messing up. I hate talking ugly. I hate thinking bad things. I hate doing bad things. And it ought to bother us. It ought to bother us. My children paid me one of the greatest positive comments they've ever paid me. On just little things, Daddy, little things bother you. They sure don't, honey. Because I'm going to tell you, when they quit bothering me, I'm fixing to be washed up. I'm glad little things bother me. And I'm glad they sure do, honey, tonight. You hear me? Little things bother me. When things come on the TV, it bothers me. When I hear people talk ugly, it bothers me. I can't do what I used to do long. But it's still in me to do it. Paul said it's in him. Verse 17, now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. Time out. The only good thing in us is Christ. There are some here maybe a little better than others, but our worst day, honey, we all is filthy rags. Without the Lord Jesus, we'd all die and go to hell. And you better not think you're going to heaven because you're a good person. Because you ain't going, you're going to bust hell wide open. For the good I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. He said, man, it's a war going on in me. These grave clothes is bothering me. Now, watch this. 1 Peter 1:18. 1 Peter 1:18. We're talking about the second glimpse of Lazarus now. He comes out of the grave and he's bound hand and foot. He even got a napkin on his face. 1 Peter chapter number 1, verse number 18. Peter's writing. Boy, it was a great day when he realized he's a failure without Jesus. He got around the wrong fire and he got to cussing. Amen. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but of the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifested these last times for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead, gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing you purified your soul in obeying the truth through the Spirit, unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Now look what the Bible says in 23. Being born again. You see, I've been saved. I'm being saved. And one day I shall be saved. You see, I have been saved, no doubt in my mind, from the penalty of sin. I'll never have to stand before God about my sin. Jesus took my sin on the cross. And therefore, I've been saved from the penalty of sin. I'm being saved from the practice of sin. Look what it says. Being born again. He says it's an ongoing process. He said, oh, you can't go back, honey. He said, you done been born in the family of God, but you remember, you're just not all there yet. Being a Christian. It's an ongoing process. You've not arrived. Being. That's some fall downs. Get up, brush yourself off, and move on. Being born again. What do you mean? When I sin and mess up, hey, I can't go back to that old life because I'm being born again. It's an ongoing process. It's something in me that's a living that never was a living before. Being, it's an ongoing process. Oh, yes, honey, I'm saved for the day of redemption. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'll never go to hell because I've trusted Jesus for all my sin. But there's something working in me that works every day of my life. Being. Boy, I'm glad when God saved me, He put something in there that's a being. It's ongoing. It don't play out. Being. Born again. As you walk through this world, you know what you're doing? You're being born again. Being born again. Living for Christ. Getting up and moving by the help of God. We've not arrived being born again. Not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is grass, and the glory of man is a flower of grass. The grass withereth and the flower falleth away, but the Word of the Lord endureth forever. You know something? I got born, watch this, I got born again. August 1981. Did you know that I'm being born again right now? I was born again. I'm being born again. I'll always be born again. I've been born again. I'm being born again. I'll always be born again. We ought to make a song out of that. I done been born again. I'm being born again. What are you talking about? There's new things to me every day of my life. I've not arrived. But I'm being. There's something in me that's making me being. Something driving me. When I don't want to come to church, there's something in me saying, go. Go being. I'm being born again. I'm being born again. Being born again. He's got an ongoing process working in me. Oh, I can't backpedal and get out of the family. I'm in the family. I'm in the family. Being born. Boy, that God is so good. I've been born again. I'm being born again. Oh, boy, He's still working on me. Making me what I ought to be. Like what my little niece said one time. She said, Uncle Ken, you know what Jesus said? What did He say, hon? He said, do unto others for they do unto you. I said, no, baby, you got the book backwards. You got the book backwards. Well, that's good, isn't it? Being born again. Not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. Boy, this word brings life. Thank the Lord. I've been born again. I've been saved from the penalty of sin. I'm being saved from the practice of sin. Do you understand that tonight? I've been saved from the penalty of sin, and I'm being saved from the practice of sin. We should never stop. We should go on. And I want to show you something. 2 Peter. Look right here. Chapter number 1. 2 Peter chapter number 1. Maybe I can get my point across to you tonight. 2 Peter 1 verse number 8. 2 Peter 1 verse 8. For these things being you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, watch, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your call and election sure, for if you do these things, you shall never fail. Now look at verse 9. That he that lacketh these things, what things? Well, he says in verse 7, godliness, brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness, charity. He said, now if these things are lacking in you, he said, you're blind and can't see far, and you've forgotten that you're purged. You know what he's saying? You're carnal. You're carnal. And let me tell you something. Did you notice when Lazarus come out of the grave and he had on them grave clothes? He said something to those that was around him. Y'all loose him and set him free. That takes grace, don't it? Oh, I know some of y'all say, man, I've never messed up since I come out of the grave. Oh, you have too, because you come out with stuff on you. He said, it's y'all's part now to help them. You know what we do when people get saved? You ever notice this about a plant or a tree? If you take a young tree and stick it up in the yard and walk off and leave it, it'll die. Do you know you've got to nurture it, watch it, water it, fertilize it? So it is with a young Christian. Some of you ladies, I mean, that's why you ought to dress right, live right, and act right. There's young people looking up to young girls watching you. You ought to teach them how to get them grave clothes off and that sassy mouth off of them. Somebody say amen. And that back talking when they get 13. We ought to help each other get them grave clothes off. And the only way that we're going to help each other is being a real church and realize we're real people, we're real failures, that's got a big God. Got a big God. Let me remind you tonight, Christian, I'm not giving nobody a license to sin. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. I might not be where I could be, but thank God I ain't where I used to be tonight. And I'm going to tell you this, the most sanctified one here tonight, we didn't get there overnight. There's failures and mistakes and obstacles. Quit being the judge and the jury. Quit pointing that big sharp finger at people. Remember, when you point, you got three more looking back. We need the grace of God practiced in our assembly. We need the grace of God practiced in our life and in our homes. You need to quit divorcing over a tube of toothpaste, bar soap. And Jesus said some words to them. Jesus said unto them, loose him and let him go. Loose him, let him go. Let him go for the glory of God. Now, Lazarus, the dead man, he's in the tomb. Second picture, Lazarus, the defeated man, he's tied. I'm going to tell you something. You don't have to live a life of defeat as a Christian. You don't have to be addicted to anything tonight. God's children are addicted to many things. You don't have to have addictions in your life. You don't have to have a wayward lifestyle. You don't have. If you're born again by the grace of God, there's somebody in you that can defeat the devil tonight. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We have unlimited power in our lives tonight if we'll access it. If we'll get little, He'll get big. And tonight it ought to be our heart's desire that we ain't got on near the grave clothes that we used to have. You know, He's looking for His church to be spotless. Boy, He's coming back. And honey, when I get on the bus, I don't want to get there with my head down by the good grace of God. Would somebody help me preach at Liberty tonight? You know I'm telling it right. Three pictures of Lazarus. Lastly, Lazarus, the dead man in the tomb. Secondly, Lazarus, the defeated man, he's tied. But look in the next chapter and the last glimpse of him. Lazarus, the different man, he's at the table. John 12. Something happened to him. What happened to him? Oh, it happened to me. I'm being born again. Whoo, what a ride. What a joy. You know, that word's got so big in me tonight. Things carrying us. Isn't it wonderful being a Christian? I'm glad the Bible didn't say you've been a Christian, but I'm being a Christian. I'd rather be a Christian than anything I know. People say, well, you can't have fun being a Christian. Y'all just hang around me a week. I love being saved. I'm glad I've got a God's in the forgiving business. I'm glad I'm in a church where I can enjoy being saved. Loving one another. I'd hate to know I was going to a highfalutin church and nobody could even have fun at church. Hate to know I had a woman preacher. Lazarus, the dead man in the tomb. Lazarus, the defeated man, he's tied. But lastly, Lazarus, the different man, he's at the table. Now look in John 12, verse 1. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Now look at his testimonial of the past. Verse number 1. Look. The Bible said he came to Bethany where Lazarus was, which had been dead. I'm glad I've got a testimonial of a past. I can tell you the place and time when God spoke to me and called me out of the graveyard. And I thank God for it tonight. And then, secondly, not only a testimony of a past, but look at the treasured place. He's one of them sitting at the table with Jesus. Boy, what a high place. What an honored place. What a holy place. Oh, what a gifted place. To be able to sit around the table with the people of God with Jesus at the head of it. My goodness. We see him here, a different man. He's at the table. The testimony of his past. But then his treasured place. But then look, lastly, at his truthful principle. Verse number 9. Look what the Bible said. Much people, the Jews, therefore knew that he was there, Jesus. And they came not for Jesus' sake only, but they might see Lazarus also, whom he raised from the dead. Word got around. Hey, that boy down Bethany, y'all hear about that episode in town at Bethany the other week? Come out of the Jerusalem Advocate. There was newspapers went everywhere. This was the headlines. Undertaker had to give his money back. What are you talking about? They said, y'all hear about all that bunch come over there crying and a squalling? Jesus come to town. Boy, been dead 4 days. They done embalmed. 4 days. He come up. And all he said was, y'all loose him. Let him go. So y'all heard about that? You know what they done? They come to the preaching. They come to the meeting to see, is it true or not? You may be amazed that the people may come around and see if you're true or not. I heard a guy, I remember somebody, I don't know who it was now. Lord, I've seen so many people leave. Thank God for the ones that stayed. Somebody one morning, I walked in. I said, how y'all doing? They said, oh, we fine. I said, glad you're here. They said, yeah, so-and-so invited us to church. I said, where are they sitting at? I said, at the ball game. I said, well, they're not here this morning, but right over yonder is a good spot. You know, that's amazing, isn't it? How that here we see him, a different man. He's sitting at the table. Y'all, what a blessing to our great God that would love us enough to call us out of the grave and let us sit around some of God's finest and him at the head of the table serving us. People coming in and said, I thought you used to be over yonder. No, Jesus, come by the graveyard. Call me out of the graveyard. I don't run with them no more. I'm over here with Jesus sitting at the table. Oh, my, I'm glad. And, you know, if you'll read the rest of that story, you know, this is amazing. Don't you think people ought to be happy when people get saved? But you know what religious people do? Look what the Bible said right here. Verse number 9, much people, the Jews, knew that he was there. They came not for Jesus' sake only, but they might see Lazarus, whom he raised from the dead. But them old mossy backs, them don't want the youth to do nothing. Them want to vote on to change color of the carpet. Look out now. I know it's 7 o'clock, but I can preach to 8:30. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death. He's causing too much of a stir. Now listen, now ain't no sense getting it carried away about this thing. Could you imagine old Lazarus in the synagogues and them boys coming in flowing robes? In come Jesus, he lost his dignity, went to praising the Lamb of God. Because that by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. What a gospel. You'd think everybody'd be glad somebody got saved. I'm going to tell you, this old boy got it. And he wanted everybody to know he got it. And his life showed that he got it. Boy, the three glimpses of Lazarus. Man, we find him first of all in the tomb. Then we find him tied up, and then we find him at the table. May God find us all at the table. Stand tonight with us. Appreciate you being here. If you enjoyed the preaching, just say amen if you didn't. Amen. I got to preach that sometime in revival. They'll shout about it. Amen. Glad I'm saved tonight. Turn around and shake hands.